those unfortunate victims of this worst record of tornadoes, 200 in several states, and I think 33 alone killed in North Carolina. On the way up here, you wonder how God works sometimes, but I do believe that He honors prayer. You believe that? We always pray, as you probably do, I'm assuming most of you do, when you leave home. You go on a long journey. And as we prayed, leaving Monroe, Louisiana, not knowing that we would be encountering down the road in Jackson a terrific, ferocious tornado, one of the first that hit. And we had some road construction, and we always have problems leaving because there's so many things to do at the last moment. Well, I've learned not to get mad with God when you're delayed. I got delayed once in India, and if I'd been on the plane, I would have been in the crash. I was the only one that didn't make the plane. So God works in strange ways that we don't understand. But I believe He honors our prayer, and He wants to give us hope in everything, whether it's we're in difficult situations. I thought about those people in the Carolinas. They need hope because everything is destroyed. Everything is in ashes today in those states. And it's hard to preach a sermon to people when they are hopeless. That is a time when we can only do one thing, and that is to rely upon what God has said to all of us. You know, there's a lot of people sitting in churches who don't really believe what God has said. They just pretend, and they know how to do the tap dance, and I happen to have been one of those for many years. I'm often amazed, too, how God has permitted atheists. I used to be a borderline atheist sometimes to come up with profound things. I never said anything profound. But people like Voltaire, the French atheist, God's word is true. At his death, he said, I hear the chains rattling. I feel the fire of hell, because he spoke so much against God. He hated God. Robert Ingersoll of the United States, very famous, in the Age of Reason. All of these people tend to have come, if you're from this background, don't be offended, I pray, but they tend to come from these predestined groups started by the Presbyterian, where they believe that you're predestined to heaven or hell and you have no hope otherwise, even the children go to hell. And I've written a lot against that. All of the cults, Mary Baker Eddy, Christian Science, Charles Taz Russell, Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, Joseph Smith, all came from the Presbyterian five-point Calvinist background. Nevertheless, Robert Ingersoll, one of the best-known lawyers and speakers and poets of America who hated God, his father was a Presbyterian pastor as well. But these people said things that encouraged me. I've read all of their books. You may say, why? I want to know what the opposition believes. You got to know your enemy if you're going to stand against them. You got to know what the devil is doing. Ingersoll said some unique things. He said, you know, the hand that helps is better than lips that pray. Because in the midst where he was, he saw people praying, but nobody doing anything. I got an answer for Mr. Ingersoll. You can pray and help. That's what the Christian should do. You can pray and help. Both of those are biblical. And I'm often amazed about these things. In America, of course, Thomas Paine, in the Age of Reason, he also was an atheist, but offered a lot and encouraged. In a point of low point in America, many people read his works and were encouraged for these people. But I don't know about you, but I'm more encouraged by the Word of God than anything that man can say. I want you to just look in your Bible real quick this morning. I'm going to be reading from a Bible that's a little different. It gives us an insight. It's called the New Millennial Bible. Look at Romans 15:4. And you know, Sister Laverne, as you were singing about hope, something came up in me and I said, you know, that's what we need. Hope is akin to faith. But there's a little difference in the original language in hope and faith. It's hard to have faith when you don't have hope. We have hope that Christ is coming back, and we have faith that He's coming back. But you have to have faith in His Word to have hope. So these words are akin to each other, but they mean something different. And I want to read this to you. For lack of time, I'm not going to take too much time here. But it's sure good to see the saints of God gathered today. I'm glad that our pastors here are doing well. I didn't know what I would see. I feared that I'd see a man with all this blood drained out. His face would be white. And he looked better than I did when I saw him. I said, praise the Lord. He looks good. Lord, you raised him up, the great giant of the faith. So keep on leading you folks here. Thank God for that. You know, I trust that you're praying for your pastors, because I'm going to tell you something. It's easy to sit back and criticize, but I want to tell you something. It's hard to lead a congregation today. We have more churches closing than opening in the United States of America. I don't know if you know that or not, but a lot of people are going astray, and the country is going astray because the people are going astray. And where there's no revelation from God, where there's no law, where there's no adherence to God's way, the people will go astray. And, of course, the old King James calls it a vision, but it really translates a revelation. That means we have to believe what God has revealed to us. If you don't follow what God has revealed, you've gone astray. That's what it's really saying. Romans 15 and 4. This, I happen to know the team that I'm acquainted with the people that put this together, but I do like this version, and I think it'll bless you. For many things were previously written. Paul here is talking to the Romans. They were Gentiles, and some of these were scattered people. Some of these spoke Greek. Some of these spoke Hebrew. Some of these spoke Aramaic. He said these things that were previously written in earlier times, what's he talking about? He's talking about the holy writ of God. These things were written in earlier times to teach and guide us. That's not maybe in your version. That's what he's saying. So through our steadfast endurance, wow. So by being steadfast and hanging on and enduring, and the energizing, that's not in your version, but the energizing strength, not just strength, but energizing strength, and beyond that, when you get to that point, and assurance, that means confidence that you derive from what? What does yours say? From Scripture. Wow, you got all of that. Steadfast endurance. If you're steadfast, you have strength and you have the assurance derived from Scripture. We might hold fast to our hope. Hope in what? In anything, really. But the New Millennium says our hope that is in Christ Jesus. If you don't have hope in Christ Jesus, my friend, you have no hope. You know, it's always good to be with God's people. And I want to have the pastors to stand, and I want to do what Jesus did. He would always speak peace when he came from the dead. You might say, Harbuck, you still look dead this morning. No, I'm still alive. It's okay. When he came into the room, he said, peace, which translates shalom in the Hebrew. Long life, joy, happiness to you and your household, and everything that you do, financial prosperity, spiritual prosperity upon you, which is blessed. That you're fortunate if you're blessed. That's what he was saying. Now that word is strange because, you know, you could say it when you first met them. And then he said, I'm leaving now, and my peace I leave with you. I don't know about you, but I want the peace of God to reign in my life. And he's saying, I'm leaving, but you have my blessing as I leave. It was kind of strange as we visited some churches in Hawaii one time. We learned that the word aloha. They always say when they see you, aloha. They kind of moan it out. I like that. Like aloha. They kind of sing it out. I like that. And then when you leave, they go aloha. Now, though that's kind of a native language, I was fascinated as I began to compare how in the Hebrew that's exactly the same meaning. And they would say aloha. I asked one of them, what does that mean? They said it means, though many of them were pagans, it means God bless you in every aspect. I thought, hallelujah. You know, the aloha means almost the same thing as shalom in the Hebrew. Now, you don't find it that way in the English, but language fascinates me. But I want you to stand, if you would, please. And I want the people to stand. And I want you to join with me. I'm just going to speak a shalom blessing on our pastor and on you and on this church. And that's not too hard to do, is it? Maybe your bones are like mine. They're kind of creaking when you get up. But I want to just join in prayer, and I blessed them when I came, and I want to bless them again. I want the peace of God to reign in their bodies, in their life, giving them strength and health and encouragement through hope, being steadfast that the Lord has given them the assurance that all will be well. So let's join together. Father, in Jesus' name, I speak shalom upon the pastors, my friends, Brother Jerry and Laverne Relaford. Lord, I speak it upon them. I pray for long life and strength and health in their bodies, spiritual prosperity, and God for leadership abilities to continue to have hope instilled in this church that these people will be steadfast and endure to the end. and all people will be in heaven with you. Lord, give them strength here and throughout every person's life in this congregation. May your name be exalted, O God, throughout all the earth. We do pray for new life for all the nations. Let us all work together until you come in the clouds of glory to take us home. Let us be steadfast in hope, which is found only in you alone. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing and what you're going to do in the future. I pray in Jesus' mighty name. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Thank you for joining with me. You may be seated. Thank you so much. I'm going to introduce to you a girl I've known for quite a while, about 37 years. I think you know her. She is a lady that is, I have no way to describe her. She means a lot to me. And God has put us together for some reason that we keep moving forward and believing that we are to encourage people. And I'm honored to introduce to you my dear, precious wife of right at 37 years. And I thank God every day for my wife. I could have ended up with a bad wife, but I sure got a good one. I wanted the one that God wanted me to have. And I don't know how she prayed, but she sometimes gets done out with me. And maybe she thinks she made a mistake. I don't know. But you know, God has a sense of humor. And I'm reminded of that every day when I look in the mirror. And one fellow was preaching one time, and he meant to say God works in mysterious ways. And he said, you know, God works in mischievous ways. He certainly does play jokes on us sometimes. But my wife is no joke. She's real, and she is still just as sweet and precious as she was when I first met her. I want to introduce my dear wife, and she's going to sing for you. This is Jan Harbuck. Come on up, sweetheart, and bless these people.
No, I think I got a good one, too.
Oh, really?
Well, it is a joy to be here, and we just couldn't stay away. We wanted to come and encourage both of you and pray for you because we're believing for great things, and great things are ahead. You know, sometimes we think, well, this is it. This is up. No, the best is yet to come. Brother Gerald, you just hold in there because, and Sister Laverne, and it's such an honor to be here with Jack and Patsy. We're just so honored to be here and see all of your smiling faces. And I want to thank the church for the preparation you had was going into for the conference. I heard about all the beautiful stuff. But God has a purpose for everything, and there's a time and place for different things. But we're here today to worship Him, and I felt the presence of the Lord. And the World Conference theme this year is Strength to Endure. And I hear that all across, you know, the different ministries and churches and the ministry this morning, Sister Laverne, about hope. And that's what it's all about. And if we put our hands and our faith in that one pair of hands that made the world, that made us, then we're going to make it. And that's the name of this song, One Pair of Hands. One pair of hands formed the mountains. One pair of hands formed the sea. One pair of hands made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands formed the valley, the ocean, the river, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm, and thousands of people were fed. you're so strong. So when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands.
Amen. So if we put our faith in that pair of hands, we're going to make it. Amen.
Children's church may be dismissed now. So preschool and nursery.
Thank you, Sister Jan. Hallelujah. Praise God. As the children are leaving for their classes, I'm going to take this time to introduce someone who probably needs no introduction to the most of us here, but someone we've known for going on 15 years, and we love them, fell in love with them the first time we met them. And, of course, they've been here time and time again, and we're glad to have them back again with us this morning. Bishop Jack Ernest and his lovely wife, Patsy. Brother Jack, come and give us the word of God.
See, Marines can still operate stuff. Hallelujah. Good morning.
Good morning.
That ain't bad. That ain't bad. It's always good to be home because we consider this one of our home churches anyway. So praise the Lord. It's good to have Dr. Harbuck and his lovely wife here also. You know, when you love people, you'll do extra things. You'll go extra miles. You'll do things that you wouldn't normally do. And because we're loved by the Lord and we're supposed to open up and share that love with others. And when I was told that the conference was canceled, I was pretty upset about that. I was sad because, you know, we just look forward to coming down here and talking with Laverne, and she says, the conference is canceled, but you know what? We just want you guys to come on down here anyhow. And, of course, we didn't have to fight over that. We just, you know, jumped in the car and came on down. So we're glad to be here as always. The theme that was going to be used for the conference was winning in perilous times. And I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. All right, I'd like to pray before we start. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask for the anointing that doesn't just break, but it destroys the yoke. And Lord, we know that there's many yokes that can be thrown upon us through life. And this morning, Lord, I pray that you would anoint your servant and you would give me the anointing that is able to destroy the yoke of fear, yoke of bondage, yoke of illness, yoke of anything, that there would be yokes that would be not just broken, which could be picked up by the enemy, repaired, and put back on. But I ask for a total destruction of the yokes this morning. Honor your word this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we're talking about winning, not losing, winning in perilous times. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. But mark this, some translations, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, or there will be terrible times in the last days. Now, as I said before, Jesus doesn't use the word maybe. When Jesus speaks, when the Word of God speaks, it says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will, not maybe. We're being informed here that things are going to get tough. And I encourage you to really get into this message this morning with me. Not because of who's up here, but because of the Word of God that's going to be shared. I have been reading a lot of things lately, and I try as a minister to keep myself abreast, updated on what's going on. So I do a lot of reading, researching. This morning, prior to leaving the house, I just felt that I was supposed to just turn on my computer. I turned it on and I checked the news. And here's what I read this morning. Down in the state of Virginia this morning, I read this. In the state of Virginia, there's a festival going on in a certain city in Virginia. And there was a person preaching on the street. And incognito, undercover, the police in that city sent a police officer dressed as a normal person or somebody else, not in uniform, sent a police officer to monitor, to video and monitor this person preaching on the street. They secretly did this, filmed it, recorded it, trying to find if this man is saying anything possibly against the government, possibly against certain protected individuals and groups. They actually did this. They actually did this, and that's what it's coming to now. And you guys can remember years back when I stood in this very pulpit and I shouted out a warning, because we were still working in Vietnam, communist-controlled nation, where it's against the law to be a Christian. And I have told you before that soon what the communists are doing against Christians over there is going to happen here in the United States. And this morning when I read that, it was just so, I began to get angry, Jan. And Jan was sharing with me this morning some of the things that she has recently had to deal with and gone through. And thank God that she stood up against it. So winning in perilous times. These sobering words introduced the last message of the Apostle Paul just before his martyrdom. I think we'd all agree that the last days are here. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It's human nature when we hear about so much turmoil in the world to be afraid or begin to worry. No one wants to go through perilous times. Nobody enjoys having to suffer. No one really enjoys losing something or forced to give up something. And many of us may ask, am I being faithless if I'm afraid of what lies ahead? Am I being faithless if I'm concerned about what lies ahead? No, you're not. These can be frightening times in which we live, but we can have peace in the midst of the storm. God is not a God, Dr. Harbaugh. He is the God. Amen. Not a God. There's a lot of gods, but we serve and are saved by the God. Amen. And we want answers. But we can have peace amidst the storm because our God is the God of the midst. He is in our midst. He who commanded peace be still of the tempests will give us peace today. That's a guarantee. If we want answers, we need to look to the one who has them. It's not politicians, it's not actors, it's not a news anchor man. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. He's the truth. And He's the life. Only He sees the solutions and the way to safety and peace. Our willingness to reach out and communicate with Him with clean hands and a pure heart will unlock the blessings we are so desperately in need to help us to weather the storms ahead. So let's not put our confidence in the arm of the flesh. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will, not maybe. Church, we have to get that. We have to have that, and we have to get that. That the Scripture says, He will, not maybe, make your path straight. And when we get that, when we do away with the maybes, when we can get rid of the maybes and stand on blessed assurance, the travel will be a whole lot easier. And it says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. 2 Timothy 3:13. The 20 characteristics of people in the last days listed in the verses following our text constitute almost a definition of humanism. Self-love, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemies, and etc. The humanistic basis of all these peril-producing attributes of the last days is most evident in the last two. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof and ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The most disturbing aspect of this situation is that these are given as characteristics of people in a professedly Christian society. That's scary. That's sad. That these characteristics are concerning and supposedly of people in a Christian society. Having a form of piety but rejecting creation, the miraculous aspects of the true biblical Christianity. Furthermore, those in such a pseudo-Christian society who determine to live godly in Christ Jesus shall not maybe suffer persecution. So the Bible's telling us that the last days, and you've heard about the last days probably ever since you got saved. Well, we're in the last days, we're in the last days, and we're in the last days, and this is the, and this and that. But I can guarantee you, and I'll bet you everybody in here will say amen and agree with me, that we are now in the last days. I mean, it is so blatant, it is so evident, Ricardo, that we're in the last days. This is it. I don't know how long we have left, but I know one thing. And I don't like to say this, but I feel that it needs to be said. things are going to get tough. When you are on a street corner and wanting to preach the gospel or share the word of God, and they secretly send out undercover cops to monitor what you're saying. Wait a minute. I believe that I have the freedom of speech. The Constitution guarantees me that. I have the right. But let the police do that to someone else and see what happens. Let the police do that to some special group, special people, and see what happens. Do you know that under the hate crime law, which is to me, I'll leave that there. The hate crime law protects everyone except two groups of people that I know. One is they don't protect the United States military, and they don't protect Christians. Now everybody else is protected. If you say something against this group of people, you can be arrested and put in jail because you committed a hate crime. If you say something about this group of people or this particular religion, you've committed a hate crime. You can actually go to jail. But if you stop me from witnessing and you come and secretly video me because I'm standing on a street corner and expressing my faith, I can be arrested. You see what's happening. So you and I, who call ourselves Christians, what are you going to do, Dr. Harbuck, when they tell you you can't preach that? What are you going to do, Brother Jerry, Sister Laverne, when they tell you you cannot say what you're saying in this building? We'll shut you down. We're in the last days. The basic answer to every problem, even in the perilous times of the last days, is simply to continue believing and obeying the inspired, profitable, perfecting Word of God. Amen. And that's what Dr. Harbuck said earlier. Yes, perilous times will come and are here even as I speak, but God's Word comforts me with this scripture found in Romans 8:37. This scripture found in Romans 8 and verse 37. Yet in all things. Now, you know Brother Jack likes to emphasize words. Yet in some things. No. And the devil will have you see that it as some things. In other words, sometimes you can be victorious. Sometimes you can win. Sometimes you can overcome. But the Bible tells me God loves us so much that He says, I want you to have this, I want you to hear it this way, I want you to read it this way, and I want you to walk it this way. Yet in all things, we are more than. Now it would have been sufficient had God had it recorded and written that you are an overcomer. But God knew that a hard-headed Jack Ernest was going to come along who needed a little bit more. So it says, yet in all these things, what are these things? What are we going through right now? All these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Now you have to believe that, because this is what's going to help you get through. And listen, I'm telling you, as I'm standing here, we haven't seen anything yet. It's going to get... Jan just told me she talks with the Pentagon and the IRS in the same day. Wow. That's tough. That'll make you lose your breakfast. But listen, we're in it. We are in it, and it's going to get worse. And I'm sorry, you can tell me, Jack, shut up and leave now, and I will, but I'm telling you, it's going to get worse. And you and I, we better do more than just come in and warm one of these chairs. We're going to have to do more than just be a pew warmer. We're going to have to come to church and make a decision that you're going to believe God, you're going to believe His Word for what it says, that's it, settled. Because if we don't, Peter says it, oh Lord, you have the words of eternal life. Where else am I going to go? Who else am I going to believe? How am I going to make it? And you know what? Listen to me. You've got relatives. You've got friends that are depending on you to stay strong. I had a guy in the mill. When I used to work in the mill, come up and told me one time, he said, you've got to stay strong in case I want to get saved someday. That's what he told me. He said, I don't want you to fail. I don't want you to falter. Because someday I just really might want to talk to you about God. And I need you to remain strong. I need you to remain connected. That hit me. That really, oh, I thought, so people are listening. People are observing. And they do want something solid. We need to confess, profess, and believe these following scriptures over ourselves daily. We are not only conquerors, but we're more than conquerors. That means we are triumphers. We are triumphers. We overcome. We are the head and not the tail. But you gotta believe it. It won't work if you don't believe it. I'm the body of Christ, and Satan has no power over me. I overcome evil with good. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I believe that. I will fear no evil, for you are with me, Lord. Your word and your spirit comfort me. Psalm 23:4. Isaiah 54:14. I am far from oppression, and fear does not come near me. Psalm 1:3, whatsoever I do shall prosper, not maybe, for I am like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Galatians 1:4, you have delivered me from the evils of this world, for it is your will. Psalm 91:10. For you have given your angels charge over me, and they keep me in all my ways. Proverbs 12:28, in my pathway is life, and there is no death. James 1:25, I'm a doer of the word in God, and I am blessed in my deeds. Ephesians 6:16, I take the shield of faith and stop everything the enemy brings against me. If you believe it. Revelations 12:11, I overcome by the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony. James 4:7, the devil flees from me because I resist him in Jesus' name. Psalms 119:89, the word of God is forever settled in heaven. There's no question, it's settled. Yea and amen. What it says, if I can stand on the word of God. Colossians 3:15, I let the peace of God rule in my heart. I refuse to worry about anything. But it's a choice. All this I'm sharing you is yours. It's ours. We have to act on it. Shorty, it's in the book. We have it. It's ours. Psalm 9:9, the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. The world doesn't have anything to give you except false hope. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is not maybe a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and we're safe. Wow, all these promises. During a life-threatening storm, the disciples encountered, they found Jesus sleeping peacefully in the hinder part of the boat. God's peace and quiet can only be realized in the cleft of the rock. Are you threatened by any challenge today? Let God hide you by running to Him. Thank Him for peace and protection. Every day. Every day. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 4. God is our refuge and strength. An ever, not sometimes, an ever-present help in trouble. When you read Scripture, pay attention to the words. Words are so important. They change. They can change life. Because He's an ever, always, ever-present help in a time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, and mountains quake with their surging, there is a river, hallelujah, there's a river, whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. There is a river. Glory to God, there's a river. Hallelujah. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, will not be shaken. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10. You know that when the earthquake hit Japan, and that horrible, horrific tsunami, do you realize that that earthquake moved the country of Japan 8 feet? It moved a country 8 feet. It moved the whole country of Japan 8 feet. And the earthquake was so deep and it was so devastating that it altered the axis of our earth. That's pretty serious. Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you, not maybe. Listen, He's telling us, He's guaranteeing. He said, listen, I'll strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Just before Jesus went to the cross, He was addressing His disciples for the last time. Jesus said to them, and He's saying it to us today, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. What our Lord was saying in essence, I will never let you face your battles alone. I'll never leave you helpless or powerless against the devil's onslaughts. I know what you're going to face, but also know the Father's plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you. God said that. Hallelujah. Let us do as the psalmist wrote in Psalm 18 and verse 6. In my distress or perilous time, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From His temple He heard my voice. My cry came before Him into His ears. Because He hears us, we can be the victors and not the victims during the perilous times. Ironclad promise. God gives us an ironclad promise. God has given us an ironclad promise for life on this earth. He says that when our enemy attempts to walk over us, my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am He that doth speak. Behold, it is I. Wow. Isaiah 52:6. In other words, God says, when you're in your darkest trial, your perilous time, I will come and speak a word to you. You'll hear me say, it is I. Jesus, your Savior, don't be afraid. In Matthew 14, the disciples were on a boat in another awful storm, a perilous time for them, being tossed about by torrents of wind and waves. Suddenly, the men saw Jesus walking toward them on the water. Scripture says, when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. Matthew 14 and verse 26. What did Jesus do in that fearful moment? Straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. I've wondered why Jesus used these particular words, be of good cheer. Why would he say this to men who thought they were about to die? The word cheer means to be relieved, happy, released from fear. And here, in the disciples' time of distress, or perilous time for them, Jesus tied the word to his identity. Remember, these men knew him personally, and he expected them to act on his word by faith. He said, It is I. It's I that will come in your time of desperateness. It is I that will answer you. It is I that will heal you. It is I that will fix your situation. And only Him. It is written, They shall know in that day that I am He that does speak. Behold, it is I. Now I've come to you in your storm, in your time of peril. It's me. Yes, it is I. Jesus here with you in the midst of it all. So cheer up. Cheer up. All that I've just shared with you, all of those scriptures, undeniably the Word of God, and you and I need to know that we are the only group of people whose God is alive. Our God lives. Our God is alive. All the other religions in the earth, all the other messiahs that they call them, they're dead. Their bones are rotting in a hole in the ground, in a grave someplace. They're dead. They don't live. They can't hear. People burn incense and they do this. And when I was over in Asia, they put out food for them and everything like that. The food's never eaten. It just lays there and rots. But our God, the God, our God is alive. And He hears us when we cry. He sees us in our desperation. And He said, It is I. I will calm the storm. I'll take care of whatever it is. It is I. So cheer up. Likewise, our Savior expects the same faith reaction from us in our distressing or perilous times. We have to be people of faith. We have to, all that I just shared with you is right here in this book. So we have this book. We come to church. We hear great preaching and great teaching, great singing. But something has to change. I'm telling you, in order for us to make it, and I see some young people in here, and listen, I'm telling you, I'm not sad I'm 65 years old. I'm not sorry about that at all. Because I wouldn't want to be a young person trying to make it in these days. Our kids go to school and are beat up and bullied, killed by other kids in school. It's horrendously crazy. The pressure that's on our young people nowadays to join in and become one of them. Parents today, you got a handful. You have a handful. Grandparents, you got a handful. So, cheer up. Let's put our trust in Him who is our Lord and Master, our Savior, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. As we put our trust in Him and follow Him, we will be able to do as Paul suggests and come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need or your perilous time. It's here, church. And you're going to be reading and seeing unbelievable things. And for us as Christians, I believe that we're going to become a marked people. I believe that we already are. You see, Jesus had to be done away with because too many people were believing in Him and following Him. So the leaders were worried about losing their positions, their power, and their money. And so they said, let's just kill Him. Shut down this movement. People don't like us very much because we're Christians. We are the opposing force against evil that's still alive, still fighting evil. So you are a marked person. Some people that go to church don't want people to know they're Christians. I want everybody to know who I am. Let me rephrase that. I want everybody to know who I serve. I'm not ashamed, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed. And I'm going to continue to witness and to tell people about the person that saved me and turned my life around and who has healed me multiple times. We sang a song. He can move the mountains. That's why I don't sing. He can move the mountains. Listen, we all have mountains in our lives. He can move your mountain. And it doesn't matter what your mountain is, whether it's financial. And listen, come on now. A lot of us are suffering financially. And it's going to come to the place to where they find out at work that you're a Christian, they're going to find a way to get rid of you. They're going to find out a way to fire you. I'm telling you the truth. Because I know somebody that just recently lost their job because they were a Christian. They were replaced. In my family. Perilous times. What will you do? How are you going to win in the perilous times? Can I have some musicians? I want to give an altar call this morning. The Apostle Paul told young Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. The Apostle Paul told that to young Timothy. He said, listen, Timothy, you got to fan into flame. Stir it up. Fan it up. You ever see a bellows you use to get a fire roaring, blowing? We as believers, the key, believers. We got to be more than just church attendees. If you are going to survive, if you're going to make it in these last days, perilous times, you need to become a believer. The altar's open, and I just want to offer the invitation to. You know what? And something else too, in these last days, we're going to have to become very honest. We're going to have to be willing to trust and love one another. That if you're going through something and you need help, you're hurting. Come on, man, we're human. We're going to hurt. We're going to have problems and difficulties. And something that we need, Shorty, something, I love to see that guy. Praise God, I haven't seen him in a long time. I love you, Shorty. And We need each other. Please hear that. We're going to need more than just husband and wife. We're going to need each other. We're supposed to be a family, the family of God. I don't care what your position in life is, whether you're more educated than me or what, you're richer than me or what. We're going to have to come to a place to where we can, in a day, Ricardo, we say, you got my back, brother? You got my back. When I was fighting in Vietnam in the war, I needed people to have my back because somebody was trying to kill me. And they depended on me to have their back because there was people trying to kill us. And we're in a war. Our war is raging. And it's going to get stronger. So we need to decide. And listen, lay down all the pride and all that goofy stuff that we bring into church, all that junk. If you're here this morning and you're hurting, even if you're concerned, you're afraid, I don't care what it is. God is able. My Bible says that God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. And Paul said, I'm fully. Now here's something we got to do. You've got to become fully, not partially. You've got to become fully persuaded that God is able. We need to lose this stuff of coming and thinking, oh, well, maybe 60% of the time. No, you can depend on God 100% of the time, 24/7. I have to do that, Shorty, because I can't make it. I can't make it on my own. I have to have the Lord in my life so much and so strong that I can trust Him to take care of me and everything about me. Everything. The altar's open. Anybody want prayer? You need help. You want prayer? You're going through something. Or maybe your walk with God needs a little securing. Don't put it off. So many times we don't want to go to the altar because that means that somebody will know that I'm a little weak or I need something. Hey, I'm a needy person. I'm a needy person. Nobody's perfect. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Maker of the rain. again. I know the master of the wind. Sometimes I soar like an eagle to the sky. Among the peaks my soul can be found. But unexpected storms may drive me from my height. It can bring me low, but it can never, come on church, bring me down. For I know the master,
I know the master of the wind.
I know the maker,
I know the maker of the rain. Again. I know the master of the wind.
You know, sometimes we're just like eagles. Sometimes I soar like an eagle to the sky. Among the peaks my soul can be found. Drive me from my high. It can bring me low, but it will never bring me down.
I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. Shine again. I know the master of the wind.
Lord, I know the master.
I know the master of the wind.
Lord, I know the maker.
I know the maker of the rain. Again, I know the master of the wind.
Hallelujah. I know the master of the wind.
I know the maker of the rain. Sunshine again. I know the master of the wind.
Oh, let's sing that second verse again. Sometimes I soar like an eagle to the sky. Among the peaks my soul can be found. Unexpected storms may drive me from my height. It can bring me low, but it will never bring me down.
I know the master of the wind.
I know the
master. I know the maker of the rain.
Make the sun shine
again. I know the master of the wind.
I'll tell you something, church. It had all in the last 4 weeks. It's just been one storm after another. You know, pastor's feet and couldn't walk and all this. You know about the miracle in my car.
I testified about the miracle in my car, and then something happened to it, and guess what? I got another miracle in my car. I got another miracle in my husband. You know what? Each storm, it just sometimes it likes to come in waves, you know, and try to hit you, try to make you drown, Gay. But I tell you what, there's a master out
yes.
there.
Yes, hallelujah.
And if we listen to him and just say, peace, be still, it'll do just like it says in the Word Amen. Of God, and it'll just whip that storm. It'll just stop just like it was beaten. Amen.
Amen.
We
That's
know
right.
the master of the wind. I can't tell you how your circumstances are going to change. That's not my job. But I can point you to the one that can change everything that's around you and make your life be what God, what he wants it to be. Amen. You need to say, you know what? I don't know how we're going to get through this, but I know the master. And I'm going to stay focused on him and not get distracted. I can endure. You know why I can endure? Because I'm not in charge.
That's right.
Amen, Jen. You can endure. You endure. And God's given you everything you believed him for. Why? Because you were worthy? Because he loves you. Amen. Yeah. He loves all of us. He made us worthy, didn't he? Of every, Jennifer, that's just the beginning of the blessings you're going to get, child. I just want to tell you, he's not done yet. You just keep working, taking care of your little family, keeping your new house, and you know what? There's another blessing. The Bible says they overtake you. When you're not looking for them, they're coming down the road, and they're ready to grab you, and they're going to overtake you. That means I'm not looking at the blessings, church. My eyes are focused on Jesus Christ. But guess what's going to overtake me? Because he said it would. Sometime when I'm not expecting, Brother Henry, that blessing's coming, and it's going to overtake me. It's going to be more than I can even dream about.
That's right.
Because I'm limited in my human mind about what I can believe God for. But the Word says it's above and beyond anything I can even think or dream. Hallelujah. Because we serve the master of the wind. Hallelujah. You know what? My boat of life sails on an open sea. If ever there's a storm in my sail, and I've had those, church, but I have a friend who watches over me. When the breeze turns into the gale, for I know the master,
I know the master of the wind.
I know the maker.
I know the maker of the rain.
He can calm the
storm.
He can
calm the
sun.
Make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. I know the master of the wind. Hallelujah. I know the maker of the rain.
He can calm the storm.
He can calm the storm.
Make
the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, we praise you.
Glory
Jesus.
To God.
Hallelujah. Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. How an awesome God we
Glory
serve.
To God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
Praise you,
Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship and magnify your name this morning. Hallelujah. As you pour out your oil this morning, we praise you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
We worship you, Lord.
Hallelujah. 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 We worship and praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And what a friend
I found. Closer than a brother, I have felt your touch more contentment than others. Jesus, 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 friend forever.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
And what a friend we have in Jesus.
All
our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry
everything
to God in
by God, and I believe if you didn't get touched by God this morning, I feel really, really sorry for you, because the Spirit of the Lord has been here and been strong. We're going to be dismissed here in just a minute, but we're going to receive a special love offering from Brother Jack. What we're going to do, we're going to have a container sitting on the table at the back. When you leave, just be generous and bless him. If you're going to make a check out, make it out to New Life. And he's ministering tonight as well. So, you know, if you're not prepared to give this morning, you come back tonight, you can give then. But I want y'all to stand with me. If you're writing a check, you just go ahead and write it. You'll be fine. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, you touched lives this morning. You touched hearts and you made difference. You changed things.